Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That, and just hanging out with the Lord, there's just a scripture that the Lord ministered to me personally, so I'm just passing it on. And if it doesn't mean anything to you, blame the Lord, because he shouldn't have said anything to me about it, because he knew if he did, I was going to talk about it. Okay? This is another Holy Wednesday event. This is verse 37 and verse 38 of Luke 21. It says, now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. Now the indication there is that, though it mentions it on this day, that's what he was doing daily. Daily he would go and minister in the temple area, and then he would go in the evenings, he would stay all night at Mount Olivet, where he would sit and face the temple and seek the Lord, pray. No other book, no other gospel than Luke emphasizes the prayer life of Jesus as much as Luke does. It always fascinates me. He talks about he would go out into the wilderness, he would spend all night in prayer on the Mount of Olives. And I thought about that because we've talked a lot about prayer here at CTK over the last few months, and that for Christ, who lived on earth as the Son of Man, and yet he lived a sinless life. He never gave in to sin. Some people will say he wasn't really legitimately tempted. Well, or he couldn't sin. Well, he was tempted, and if you're tempted, thing about temptation is tempting. I don't know if you've noticed that. And you're confronted with a choice, and Jesus did not sin. He walked out and manifested his union with the Father by the Holy Spirit perfectly. And there are a lot of examples, and particularly in the Gospel of John, of Jesus talking about he did nothing on his own initiative. He was speaking the things that the Father taught him. And so obviously Christ spent a lot of time in the presence of his Father intimately and in prayer, hearing his Father's voice. And here's another example of Jesus. Here's the thing when you say this, well, if Jesus had need to do that, then certainly we have need to do that, to pray more. But that sounds like if Jesus was lacking and he needed the prayer, and we know how lacking we are, then how much more do we need to pray? I think a better thing would be to say, if Jesus felt like seeking would carry that much value, then why don't we follow his example? It says about Christ that he increased in grace with God and with men. He didn't get more grace. He carried all the grace you could carry from the very get-go, but he learned how to steward more grace. The seeking. Do we have everything in Christ already? Have we been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? Yes. But it's in the place of prayer and intimacy where we discover and we unpack and we experience. So his example says, Lord, I want to have a hungry heart. I want to be in union. I want to say yes to his hungry heart to seek in a radical way so that I can steward all the grace you've deposited in me. Amen? But there's something interesting about his prayer life. This is verse 12 of Luke. It says this in verse 12. And it was at this time that Jesus went off to the mountain to pray. Mount of Olives again. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. All right, again. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named his apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother James, and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now here's the word that fascinated me. Jesus obviously often spent all night in prayer. Can you imagine the confidence that Jesus had in his prayer life before the Father, at the footstool of his Father? Can you imagine the kind of communion and communication that was taking place between Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit? You know, we're told five different times, we've talked about this during our teaching on prayer in the Upper Room Discourse, five different times Jesus said to them, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. That's the gold standard that we're going after. So you would think Christ spends all night in prayer, just like he did every day during Holy Week, spends all night in prayer with God and comes off that mountain having obviously been praying about which 12 to pick. And he only did those things he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying. He did nothing on his own initiative. So these were obviously the 12 the Father picked. The result of Jesus' prayer life. So, at the end, it names Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. So one of the things that he, as a result of him, out of a whole night in prayer, one of them betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Not only that, that story that Bracken read, the washing of his feet that happened a few days earlier, that Saturday, it says that Judas was the one that complained about the waste of the spikenard oil. Because then it goes on and says, John says, but it's not because he cared about the money being lost, it's because he was a thief. And he was pilfering their money that people were giving to help support the ministry. He was spending that on his own. Now, how did he know that? I mean, I think if he knew that during the time it was happening, he'd have spoken up. Remember when Jesus first said, one of you are going to betray me, and all of them, including John, began to accuse each other, questioning? They didn't go like, well, it's him, of course. He's been stealing money. Obviously, Jesus told him that happened afterwards, after he was dead. He told John, yeah, he was stealing money all the time. That's your answer to prayer? And then there's Peter, the leader of the gang, who denied Christ three times publicly, cursed when they said, you're one of his followers. Cut the guy's ear off that Jesus had to put back on. That's an answer to Jesus' prayer. And then the whole crew, as I just mentioned, when Jesus said something the night before his crucifixion that one of them were going to betray him, they all started arguing with each other, blaming each other. That you're the one. It's not me, it's you. You're the one. What trust. What bonding. What deep belief in each other. That's an answer to Jesus' prayer. And then when the crucifixion happened, they all abandoned him. All of them left. They all chickened out. And at some point, John came back. He was the only one who stood there with the women. Everybody else left. That's the group he spent all night in prayer over. And then after his resurrection, even when you get to Matthew 28, even just before his ascension, it says some still doubted whether he had actually risen from the dead. I don't know about you. That really encourages me. Because you see, I'll pray about things and I come to some conclusions. I believe God's spoken. This is the deal. This is the real thing. This is what you're to pray into. This is my will. Sometimes it involves people or whatever thing, and it just doesn't seem to work out really well. And sometimes it just seems to fall apart. Somebody just walks out of your life or does some crazy thing. Here's the thing. Here's the deal. Jesus spent all night in prayer with the Father, came out of that place in absolute confidence that he was making the right decisions because the Father had spoken to him. And then things happen in this fallen world. But I don't believe Jesus gave up one moment that he had somehow missed it, or that the Father had somehow misled him. There was none of the whining, feeling sorry for, deep introspection, guilt and stuff that we do. Because all the boys, except for Judas, it all turned out okay, didn't it? Jesus understood that in God's answer to prayer, sometimes it goes sideways. Things don't always look like they're supposed to look. It kind of gets weird. It may take longer. It may look different for a while. And then sometimes it seems to fall apart totally, like he was betrayed. But you know what? God folded that in, the Father, that in, because he used Judas' betrayal to position Jesus to accomplish God's redemptive plan. God didn't waste that one either. You hearing me? This is Jesus. I mean, it's not like he spent 5 minutes in prayer. So I've got to have much time, so I'm just asking you, la, 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 pray in tongues. And I'm going to pick 12. He spent all night in prayer. And the bunch he came up with, I'm thinking, couldn't you come up with a better bunch than that after all night in prayer? You're Jesus? It was just the right pick. God did it just right. And even where one themselves chose, made some final decisions that postured them outside of the will of God permanently, God still used it for good in Jesus' life. Folded it in. Things that he prayed for that all night long. Decisions he made as a result turned out okay, even in that. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.